that be okay?
Can you hear her all right, Deanna?
Not really.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me see if I can.
Okay. This is Min. Tom?
Hi.
Hello.
Okay.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi.
I just put you on the air.
He's down there.
Yes, can you hear me?
Can you hear him at all?
Yeah, I can hear him.
Okay. Oh, everybody can hear me now? Good. Well, you're on the air. Enjoy.
You're on the air. Okay, Don, are you going to listen to the show so you know when to play the MP3 file?
Absolutely. Okay. It's about half after, right?
I can barely hear him at all.
It's about half after, right?
Don, as those of you who have listened to the Donna Wynn Show know, Don is very shy. We're on the air now, right?
There we go. Yes, you're on the air. You're ready to go. Let her rip.
Okay.
Boy, that's better now.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Welcome to, I'm going to say, the Don and Wynn Show. We have Don as our engineer. We have the Don as our engineer tonight. So Seth's wife's having a baby. Welcome to the Winfrey Conference Hour. And I think we're going to change our name pretty soon. But for tonight, it's the Winfrey Conference Hour. And for those of you that are listening for the first time, this is a simulcast. And we have a bunch of people on a telephone line and a bunch of people on the Internet listening to our show. And this kind of evolved this way, kind of naturally. And, God, I hear all these, see all that noise you hear in the background? Of course, I'm the moderator of the conference line, so I can mute it. So, just a moment. Hang on, guys. I'll tell you what. Everyone on the conference line, can you hear me now?
Yes.
So why don't you go say hello to everyone that's listening on the Internet? Say, hi, Internet listeners.
Hi, Internet.
Hi, Internet listeners.
Just so they know that you weren't really on the line, okay? Now, there we go. I'm sorry. There's probably a better way to identify you than Internet listeners. But that's what came to my mind just then. So hang on a moment.
All callers are muted.
So, this conference line and this broadcast is really an exercise and an experiment in what I call interdimensional communication. And all of you who are listening, either on the line or on the Internet, are kind of volunteers. You don't have to be. You can just listen with your mind if you want, and that's okay. But there's an intent here to not just entertain you, not just for me to talk. You know, I will talk, and if you want to be entertained, that's okay. But simultaneously, there's something that happens on this line and that many people notice, and that is they have a shift of energy in their space. They feel something going on. Now, of course, I can't do that. I'm here in Arizona, and many of you are around the world, and yet no matter where you are, you can have this experience of this shift. Now, why are you having a shift? How can listening to my voice on a phone or listening to me over your Internet speakers cause a shift in the energy in your space? So I'll explain that to you. I'll explain how I believe that works. Some of you, particularly those of you that saw What the Bleep, are familiar with the idea that we live in a multidimensional universe. Now, what is a multidimensional universe? That's a, you know, it's easy to say that, but what is it? It means to me, and the way I understand it, is that there's parallel dimensions stacked up around each other. right now, in your particular physical space, you can only be physically aware of what is called third dimension, this physical reality that we all live in. But simultaneously, and whether you are aware of it or not, there are other dimensions that are overlaid right in your space. And most of the time, we are totally unaware that that's the case. Now, those other dimensions are not bound by the same laws of the physical dimension. Now, if you're hearing this for the first time, please don't believe me. Just take it in and think, well, maybe this is true. But this is something that is not meant to educate your mind and give you another concept to believe in. This is meant so that you can actually have some experience during the course of this call. And if you're just hearing it in your mind, that's a good first step, because that will help you open to the possibility, and opening to the possibility is what can lead you to having an experience. Opening to the possibility, not to believe in anything blindly, just opening to the possibility. So these other dimensions have different rules than the physical dimension. In one way of looking at them, as you go higher in dimensions, you go more and more into what you could call pure energy and outside of physical space. So, for example, if you ever had a psychic experience where the phone rang and suddenly you had this wave come over you and you picked it up and you knew who was on the other line, or you felt you knew and you were right, that might have been a circumstance where you got a signal from another dimension through the ethers, through this other zone, from the person who called to you, because you could feel their intent in calling and it washed over you. If you ever had an intuition to do something and you did it and it turned out right, that intuition came from another dimension. When we go to sleep, they say that we all go into other dimensions and that there's all kinds of things that happen in a sleep state and a dream state, that some people learn things, there's schools, we meet other people, and then when we wake up, we have no memory of it, unless you make a practice of writing your dreams down, in which case some people that have done that have become very, very surprised at what happens. So in these other timelines, in these other dimensions, there's lots of beings. Some of them are positive, some of them are negative, and some of them are kind of mixed. And some of these beings have bodies in the dimensions that are closer to us. And as you get into the dimensions that are further away, these beings become more of pure energy. And they don't have bodies. They're just pure energy intelligences. And at the higher realms, and there are groups, intelligences, that moderate the lower realms and that can actually move their energy through all these dimensions, or sometimes we call them matrices, or sometimes we call them timelines. Some people, they're interrelated by what some people have learned to call sacred geometry. They can beam through them, and they can be in your space. Now, the things I'm sharing with you are not things that I learned in a book. They're not things that I would have believed if someone told them to me. I learned this because they started talking to me. And who started talking to me were these very intelligences that have identified themselves as group energies that were outside of the timelines, and they said they could move through the timelines and come into this space. And I recommend that you go to, I'll give you a couple of websites, get your pen and pencil out, because the things I'm saying are not something that you could or should believe because I say them. You should review my experience. You should review the people that have been around my experience, that have watched all this. And it helps you validate what it was like and what it is like to have gone through this, rather than me saying, I'm an expert and here's what to believe. Because I'm really an observer. I'm a very sharp observer. And I've had to observe my own experience, and I've had to draw conclusions based on my experience, which is what has led me to do this conference call. And in my own experience, of course, many of you know, I started out 7 years ago writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, of course, is a true story that pretty well proves that Edgar Cayce's back in the world, and that the same source that spoke through Edgar Cayce is now communicating to us through David Wilcock. It describes one of those intelligences that I'm talking about that's in these higher dimensions that can move through these realms and be with us. And they called themselves the Ra Group. And as I was writing the book, I said, you know, how do I know this is true? How do I know they are who they say they are? Now, the book makes an extremely good case of tying David Wilcock to Edgar Cayce with billions to one odds, I would say, statistically, probabilities that David is Cayce. And most people that study the story believe that, believe the case is made. And the book also creates a good case for the fact, scientifically, that there is something going on our planet that has never happened in the history of mankind. And it goes on to explain scientifically that we have our solar system in great transition. All our planets are having physical changes that have never happened before. And when I started writing the book in the year 2000, it was not so obvious that Earth was going through these changes. But I think most of us can see that Earth itself is in a strange period, that the weather is changing, the politics is changing, the people are acting irrationally, that doesn't seem to make sense, there's more catastrophes, more natural catastrophes, and what I learned, that it is all tied to this 75,000-year cycle, and that there's things happening that by understanding this and also making your own connection with these intelligences that I'm introducing on this call, the next few years will probably go a lot easier for you. So part of my purpose in this call, maybe the prime purpose, is to create the reality that this is real and that you can make these connections. And it's not about blind belief. It's about looking, reaching, being open, and hopefully creating a portal of energy during this call where you can experience something in your own space. And if you don't experience it the first time you're on the call, and you think either we're a bunch of wackos, that's fine, or if you think maybe there's an experience here to be had, but perhaps sometimes people come onto this call, and there's two things that will block them from having an experience. One is that they're in their mind. They keep thinking about it. They won't be... You have to let your mind be quiet and go neutral. You have to stop your mind. So if you're one of those people right now whose mind is chattering, just say, we're not asking you to believe something. We're not asking you anything just to go into a neutral space, like a meditation. Feel the space around you. Feel your expansion into that space and be open. The other reason people won't experience something is because they have locked in their bodies what we could say are traumas, traumatic experiences that have come from this lifetime or from past lifetimes, where the energy has gotten extremely tight and it won't release. Now, if that sounds like you, I'd like to ask you right now to go into that area where you feel that tightness and take a deep breath and let it go. Let that energy release so that in this moment you can feel your own energy moving through you and your chakras opening. Because if you can stop your mind from chattering away and judging and evaluating, and if you can let go of your traumas for just a moment, they're going to come back. Don't worry. You'll have them in the future, because most people will take more than one experience to let those things out of their system completely. And now, some people don't know they're there. I remember when I was young, I had lots of those kind of traumatic things locked in my body, and I was so used to feeling them, and I thought that's who I was. So if you happen to be one of those people, and you're feeling in pain, that you're feeling hurt, I will tell you that's not who you are. It's something you can get through. And everyone has the ability to expand and be more than they are. And that does not an easy job. It starts out with creating the possibility and the belief. Because if you think that pain is who you are and is all there is, then there's no chance, because that's who you are. I'm telling you, and this is where, if you've never heard this before, have faith in my words here. Just consider the possibility that is not who you are, and you can release that. And there are different techniques for it. And in fact, just coming into these calls, we do these calls every night of the week. We've seen it happen for people on these calls, that some of those traumas that they've had carried all their life have released as a result of being in the energy of this call. And there's no charge for this, so there's no hidden agenda. This call has been going on for almost 2 years now, and when it started out, it was an experiment. I said it was an experiment, and I still think of it as an experiment, because I haven't read the handbook on how to do this. So I make it up as I go along, and I hope I make good decisions. And if I make one that's not good, I have to correct myself and keep moving. Because the way this started is I started, as I said, I was writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and I'm reading the words of this one group soul who identifies itself as the Ra group. And 2 years into writing the book, I suddenly have a new girlfriend that starts telling me she has this sensation in the top of her head and something wants to speak to me. And this voice starts coming through her, which I thought she was crazy at first, that identifies itself as the Council of Elohim. And I tested it. You can read the story. I said I was going to give the websites. Here's the websites you should look at. TheInsideScoop.org. TheInsideScoop, no dashes, no hyphens, and it includes the word the, where I put up a half-hour audio clip, which has both Terry and Daphne talking and my sister talking, who had a miracle, because I want people to know that I couldn't make this up. And, you know, if you just hear me, no matter how good I sound, I know there's something in somebody's mind that says he had to make this up. So if you listen to that, you'll know I didn't make it up, and I had the experience. And then there was a website I put up in 2003 called conversationswithmygirlfriend.com. Now, in 2003, I was in the middle of still writing and editing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Yes.
Can you hear me?
Nobody yes.
can hear me, just you. Just you,
yeah.
trust me. You and the rest of the host can hear me.
Yeah.
Not the audience. But when do you want me to hang up there?
In the next, I'll give you 5 or 10 minutes, okay?
Okay. You might
okay.
want to tell people who you're speaking to, because the audience doesn't hear me.
Who is?
None of the audience will hear me. The live audience or anybody.
Are they hearing me?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Don. that was Don. Don, okay. Not yet. I got to introduce it. Give me about 5 minutes, and I'll introduce it, okay?
Okay,
thank you. That was Don interrupting me and telling me, when is he going to run the audio file? So, in any case, we'll do that very shortly, and then I'll get back to talking. I have these voices talking to me. They identify themselves as the Council of Elohim. They say they're another group soul. They're outside of this dimension. And the woman who was channeling them thought that I was nuts and that she was nuts. And I was just wondering about it all and testing it. I didn't believe it. I didn't disbelieve it. But, of course, I had miracles. Go to Conversations with My Girlfriend, and you can read the original archival file website that I put up in 2003. Then in 2005, Don, who just, you couldn't hear him, I was talking to him, you could hear one side of my side of the conversation. We started doing a show on BBS called The Don and Wynn Show. And in December of 2005, Daphne came on as a guest. And at the time, I was trying to convince her that, hey, this was important, and other people were finding it important, and I was just intending to interview her about her experience. And in the middle of the interview, she suddenly interrupted and said, those guys want to say something. And I'm going to, in just a moment, Donna, not yet, but in just a moment, we're going to play that original interview, not the interview, but the channeling that happened on the Don and Wynn Show. Well, just, I want you to know who's talking. They identify themselves as the Council of 12. Now, by my cosmology of understanding things, these group souls who are outside of our dimension, that are billions of individual souls, can radiate love, light, energy into our space. There's two of them. One is the Ra group, and the other is the Elohim group. Some of you are feeling that energy in your space right now. That's not me. That's them. And normally, there's a council that regulates that energy in this realm. As I understand it, this council, which is the Council of 12, kind of looks for opportunities where that energy should be present and then petitions the group souls, and then they beam energy. Like, let's say there's a bunch of Tibetans doing, I don't know if this is exactly right, but I'm saying, what if a bunch of Tibetans doing a meditation that are getting very high, and that energy is strong enough to lock the energy of the group souls, so then they blend with those Tibetans and make the energy really high. And this blending is very big. It goes through the earth, goes through our physical bodies, it goes into the space around us, and it extends, for, depending on your capacity to hold the energy, sometimes many, many miles, and for some people, thousands of miles in their ability to radiate. And it's this energy that is what's healing for our planet, what's healing for each other, and it's this energy that we are bringing in to this conference call. So I'm going to play, this is a 20-minute audio of the Council of 12's first address to mankind. Remember, this council regulates the energies of the Ra group and the Elohim group. When this is played, they will be present. And for those of you that are sensitive, you will feel the energy. It starts out with a few minutes of Don and I and Daphne talking just prior to her saying they want to talk. So, Don, if you're listening, I hope you are, and if you're ready, you can play it.
This is Ron, and he's here. Do you want me to play it?
Please, Don.
You got it. Nobody's hearing me, just you.
Just a moment.
It was just follow through.
Following through. I don't have anything to say. I mean,
I was going to say maybe one day we'll have a, you know, a show where people could actually call in and speak with Mix X and ask her questions that they have been dying to know. Because, you know, a lot of my questions, I really have come to a place in my life where I don't have too many questions.
Mm-hmm.
But there are others that have tons of questions, and they haven't reached that place that they're still searching, and they have tons of questions, and I don't know what they are, and I'm sure, you know, our listeners would love to be able to call up someone like Miss X and just ask away, and if that's in the cards, maybe it's something you can consider and think about.
Maybe we can have one of the sources come through and you know, we have to be careful with that because it's so sensitive and she's so sensitive. But maybe if we filter the questions, we can ask them to a source and have it right on the air.
Yeah.
I think that actually would be a better way to do it. Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? I don't think it's good to I think she would agree here is that there's a difference between what she knows in her conscious mind and what, you know, what comes through her.
Yeah.
But and the other thing about hooking in with a source, and this is something that is probably new information for most people, so listen to this one carefully. Most people who channel an individual entity. When you channel a group soul, you're not channeling an entity. You're channeling an energy that suddenly has a voice. And that energy is not far and removed. When we think of a celestial source as being far away or, you know, some other star system, actually, that energy can move right into your space. And then it has a voice. And although many of us have felt celestial sources in our space, we felt it in all this vibration around us and upliftment, it's not often that vibration and energy has a voice. Like David Wilcock is a super voice for a group soul that is Ra. And
just interrupt. They are very eager to talk right now if you want them. You have to do a protective invocation first.
Okay. Is that okay with you, Don?
I would be delighted.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, I usually do this at the end of the show, but we're going to do a clearing right now. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the light to surround and protect all of us present and every person that's listening, no matter where they are. And we ask that any negativity be taken to the realms, the higher realms of light, and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. And we ask for the presence of those interdimensional sources operating in the Christed energy, service to others. And do we have a source that would like to say hello to the blog-in audience right now?
We of the celestial realm ask for the protection of Archangel Michael, Archangel Gabriel, Ezekiel, Ra'el, Uriel, the Council of Twelve, the Council of Saturn, the Council overseeing the emanations of the Hunab Kul, We invoke the Christ of consciousness of the Christ light and all sentient beings, animal, devic, human, involved in the ascension process, taking way on Terra as we so speak, moving her from density 3 through 4 into 5 and upwards. We presently speak to you from the Council of 12, the Oversoul Council of our solar system. Have you questions for us this evening? We are indeed very, very pleased to have this opportunity presented to us for such dissemination of light to so many who can serve and uplift their fellow humans. We take this as a grave responsibility and huge honor. Have you queries for us at this time?
I'll ask a question on the behalf of all those people who are listening. And each person individually wants to know how they can participate in their own life in the best way for the upliftment of this planetary process. Could you share that, please?
Go to the source. Go to the center. Go to what is in your heart. We are trained here in this Western culture especially to ignore the promptings, the intuitive pleadings, the emanations of the heart. Some call it the intuition, the gut instinct. This is almost always correct. We are too rationalistic a culture, too intellectualized a culture. Not that the mental is negative, but the mental, and thus the ego, is to serve the soul, not to be master of the soul. Right now, we are struggling within a third-dimensional structure that is enslaved by rules which serve the ego. The ego dominates world politics, world business, oppression, mercenary war, not the heart. As leaders such as the Dalai Lama have said, strive for compassion for all, for harmlessness for all. For in the end, we are all the same. We all cry. We all hurt. We all need love. We all need food. We all need shelter. We all need each other. Look at your disaster here in the United States. Look at Katrina. Look at what happens when suddenly a natural catastrophe takes away the very existence of life, the technologies which we have come to rely on as the most concrete. They are not the most concrete. Physical things are not the most concrete. It is what is in the soul and how we treat others. This indeed is the most concrete. And we will continue to manifest these lessons as long as we are intolerant of others, because others are only aspects of ourselves. The more quickly we can accept ourselves and our own imperfections, the more quickly we can harmonize with others of different disposition and understand that differences, like colors, like musical tones, like different plates on a table, different delicacies, are to be savored for their differences. not to be juxtaposed and judged one against another. There is room for multitude and plentitude. Variety is a good thing, not bad. We must learn to rejoice and see beauty in variety. This is one of the most pressing points. There is much polarization, especially here in the United States, in terms of political spectrum. Things become heated here emotionally very quickly. There is an eroding middle class. Canada, Europe, Australia, even India, at this point, has a larger middle class than does the U.S. This started happening in the 70s. In order to have a large middle class, one must have an educated populace. Once the public school systems are eroded and you only have an elite populace and a disinformed populace or a media misinformed populace, then divisiveness can start. This is what has happened in the United States. The U.S. is actually at a very critical juncture because karmically she is a way shower for the rest of the world. And yet, there is much she has to learn from others, especially as regards humility. Americans have many, many good things in their character. But the one American characteristic, we speak generally now, of course, archetypally, not of individual people, is the country as a whole must learn to cooperate as part of a world, must learn to take her place among the world stage, not as a braggart, not as the mightiest and the greatest, not as a teenage rebellious soul, for she is a young country. She must learn to cooperate.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Could I ask you to explain how the Council of 12 operates and its role in the affairs of our solar system?
Know you the disciples of Christ?
Yes.
Yes. We are likened unto the disciples of the Christ. We are the direct emissaries to the Galactic Council, which oversees the rising vibration of your current planet Earth, but also the solar system, for your sun too is rising in vibration. And the entity now channeling, in a previous experience, actually was given information pertaining to a dimensional shift in which there would be an experience of a binary star system at the end of the shift. For it is not just Terra alone that is shifting. It is indeed the entire solar system. Does this answer your question?
Yes, it does. Don, would you like to ask a question?
I would like to ask if there are any suggestions that could be made by the Council of 12 that we can, that what we're trying to do here with Blogging Service and BBS Radio, whether there are any suggestions you could make that would help in our endeavors to reach and uplift mankind, and anything that you'd like to say on that behalf would be helpful.
The Council applauds your efforts greatly. One suggestion is to make information, interviews, such as the one with Carla Ruckert and your upcoming guest, and various others, available in either transcript format or recordable CDs, which people may order from you. This is one possible way of disseminating the information even further.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, we ask that perhaps you could send blessings to everyone that's listening and energy into their space so they can have some experience of upliftment and a reference point. Can that be done?
Yes. The Galactic Council, the overseers of the Council of Twelve, energized by the Hunab Ku, the Galactic Center, the emanation of the Christ consciousness, now envelop all listeners, all sentient beings, and uplift their hearts with golden, silver energy of the magenta ray of the harmlessness, unconditional love ray of the dolphins, of the whales, of the oceans, of the trees, of Gaia herself. Spend time in nature. Behold what you have been given, and behold how you treat her. For how you treat her is how you treat others, and ultimately how you treat yourself. Spend time with children, your loved ones, animals. Slow down your hurried pace. Take time to breathe. It is better to do one thing well and simply with love than many things half-heartedly. Be centered. Be present. Now is the only time that there is. There is no past and future as we move into multidimensionality and non-linearity. There are points. One is called Chronos, linear time. The other, Kairos, non-linear time. Atonement, the Christed energy. They intersect at a place ruled by the planetoid Chiron, which means the ultimate wound within the self, which must be healed so that one can then serve the planetary destiny and fulfill the Dharma for which one's birth contract was prearranged and made. It is time now for the indigo children and the crystal children to awaken. And the indigo children are not just the children now. Indigos started to come in as early as after the Second World War. The majority of indigos came in after 1978. Those children born after 1993 are primarily crystal children. The crystal children actually can see the emanations of the energies of which we speak. The indigos are aware of the energies and are more likely to feel them and intuit them in their body. But with time and practice, their inner eye, third eye, can be awakened to see the beautiful geometrical forms which look like the inside of a light prism put inside of a kaleidoscope. We bless you. We thank you. We are honored by you. We wish to serve you. Bring us your tears, your fears, your hopes, your dreams, and your questions. We bid you good night. Blessings to all. Love, peace, and may everyone have what they need, always and forever. Adonai, Adonai, Sebaos. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, that was an absolute treat, Wynn.
Well done. Let's thank Girlfriend X for coming to the plate.
Thank you very much, Miss X. I must say, you are a treasure and a delight, as always.
I think we have to thank the council.
Thank you.
I'm just the radio.
Well,
you have to volunteer.
I guess you have to come
to the plate.
But you know what? We should call this Tales of a Reluctant Channel.
Okay. This is Wynn again, off of that tape. And that was quite an amazing experience, as you might gather. And that was very unexpected. And at the time, it was 2003, and my book was still in process. And it was 2005, it was. My book had come out in 2005, but I had started the practice of calling the participants, the channels, Girlfriend X and Girlfriend Y, because when my book was still being worked on, I said, my God, I don't even know if I can be publicly identified with this experience or I'll never get the book published. So I thank Don for engineering that and getting it on. And we do have Terry here, and we don't have a lot of time, but perhaps we can get it's 7:19. We have 6 minutes. By the way, for those of you that are listening on the Internet, we do continue after we go off the Internet. And you can email Suzanne at Higher-Visions and find out our schedule and our phone number. And let me give this to Terry and see if we have a message.
This is a message. I am getting a message at this time. I'll just go right into it because we don't have a lot of time. We greet you in these urgent times. We see the energies that are being expanded. We see the confusions, the panic, the stretching to the limit of the energies of your firefighters at this time. We renew and back up as they reach for more energy to continue. It will be some more days of chaos as we work and they work to get the situation under control with the fires. But we do not ignore the other people's prayers and the people on the conference line. And we hear them all and our, you know, non-linear way connected with all and raising the level of the tone of the entire area and all listening. And we thank you profoundly for your participation and your questions and your connections. And we are with you. And we wish you love. And at this point, we leave you. But we do not leave you. We are still with you. Adonai.
That was the Council of Elohim addressing us. And, let me see, we're six, what time is it now? So we have 3 minutes more. I'd like to let you know again that we do these conference calls every night of the week. I do the one on Monday, but the energy of these groups is present whether I'm on the line or not. They've agreed to be present and monitor this call. Many of the people who have been on the call have gone through quite a bit of transformations and healings as a result of their presence here. So feel free, if you're so moved, to use this as a resource that you can use to either receive energy, or if you're one of those people that has a lot of energy to share, to give energy, because we create a group energy on this call. And all of you who took your time tonight were part of that group energy, and I thank you for being here. And please feel free to invite others. This is a time that where there's a direct connection, I believe, between this realm and those sources in other dimensions that need our okay to intervene down here. And whether you're praying and you call it God, Christ, Elohim, Ra, doesn't matter what word, it matters the intent. And that it's the intent of your own heart that penetrates the veil. Those of you that have not made the request, we have a free book called Questions and Answers with the Elohim, which if you email suzanne@higher-vision.org, it's about 70 pages of things which they say have never been put into this realm before, in explaining how the dimensions interact. And so please request it and get from it what you're meant to. And on that note, it's 7:25. I'm going to say good night to everyone that's listening on the internet. Our website is higher-vision.org, higher-vision.org. And we're going to continue with the people on the phone line with the calling in of the light. Thank you, Don, for having us on tonight, and good night, everyone.